All right, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 51. And it says, Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. And he said unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure good things new and old. We are just getting to the end of the preaching on the parables. And he went through and here's the story. And there was always the explanation or the explanations implied behind it. And then he'd move on to the next one. And we understand why he taught in parables. But he sits there and he asks them this question. Do you understand? And I think that's a very important thing for Baptists today, for all Christians today, to stop and to ponder. Do I understand? The idea that doctrine is solely to be agreed with and not understood has not put God's people into a good place. We can never be the people who agree with something because our church says it to be so. Because our pastor says it to be so. Because the people who came before us deem it to be so. We have to know it and we have to understand it. Why? Because it is our responsibility to obey it and to teach it. Two things you're not going to be able to do if you don't understand it. Now, as we study, we learn more. I've never met anybody with a 100% perfect understanding of Scripture, but I've known a lot of people who were about as close as you can get. And folks, that is our goal, to know and understand the Scriptures in its entirety. And even if we find ourselves never quite there, it is better to be as close as humanly possible than relaxed and far too comfortable. We see in here this question. Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. See, there is that drive. There's that necessity for understanding. These are the words of God. These are valuable things. These are not the instructions on your IKEA furniture. Or that cheap furniture you'll buy off of Amazon will show up. And if you've ever bought anything from IKEA, it goes like this. You get the big old box. Sometimes it's three or four boxes, but you'll have the instructions on the inside. And the instructions are written for everybody on the globe. So it's just pictures. And every now and then you get this stick figure type person who will sit there and will try to demonstrate how to do certain things. And they're not always clear, and sometimes they're very frustrating. There's not a lot of sizes on the boards. It's very hard to see. But you know what? If you're looking at it and you know what a chair's supposed to look like, you could probably get it without those instructions. The Bible is not like that. The Bible requires close study. There's no wing in it when it comes down to life. The stakes are too high if you allow me to talk like that. The margin for error, the risk potential is too high to guess at life. God has given us things on top of things to understand about life. And we're not just talking about the parables. The whole book speaks and sings solid wisdom and knowledge to us. And we are fools if we ignore it or refuse to take advantage of what is there. You must take that out. Utilize it. Or else we find ourselves in trouble. We see here this as he continues on. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Now he's referring now to somebody who has learned, or somebody who is a scribe to these things. Now see that word scribe? Isn't it weird that it didn't say disciple? What's the difference between a scribe and a disciple? Well, their job duties, right? One is simply a student. The other is one who is a student but copies word for word without creativity and without deviation, correct? If you were dictating Paul, he wrote a little bit through scribes or through people who would write for him, right? They had to write word for word. We've looked recently at the preservation of the Bible. Those scribes that wrote down the old transcripts that we have that would write them out, they wrote it word for word. If there was any deviation, they threw it out. A scribe is somebody who is to keep, maintain, and preserve what it is that has been handed to them. And we've looked at that recently as well. This is what we kind of arrived at this maybe a couple weeks late. Wouldn't this have been much more fun a couple weeks ago? But it's exactly what he's saying. Somebody who's been made a scribe onto these things, right, is like a householder. Now think about your house. Think about what you have there. If someone were to come over this afternoon, let's say tomorrow, I'm going to give you some space here. Imagine somebody stops by for breakfast tomorrow. What would you do? I want you to picture in your head what's in the cabinet. All right, I got some eggs. We got some cereal. We got toast. There's that oatmeal we got. Hey, we could break out those donuts. Yeah, just think about it in your head. Now, in there, in that thing that you're planning on doing, you're probably going to find some things that have been recently purchased, and maybe perhaps there's going to be some things that you've had for a few weeks. You're going to have some brand new things. You're going to have some things that are old, but still good, right? Maybe it's a packet of tea or some sugar, something like that. Something you've had for a little bit, and you're going to bring out what? The old and the new. At my house, we don't have a lot of snacks. My mom spent a couple days at our house. We found some new things in our cupboards, right? We found Pop-Tarts. We found, they make these little candy bars, but apparently they're granola bars. It's pretty much just a peanut butter cup mixed into some Rice Krispies. It's a health food, apparently. It's good for breakfast. We got some new things. And we've got some things that I recognize. Coffee, packets of tea. We've got all the things you'd find up in there, right? All the seasonings that you probably bought a couple months ago. And if you were to prepare something for somebody, you would bring down the old, you'd bring down the new. You would do the best you can with what you have because you recognize the value of what you have. This is good, and this is good. And I tell you what, I'm going to bring that up because I think that would be nice. That's hospitality 101, isn't it? What is it that the Lord is saying here? That somebody who's been given to be a scribe of the knowledge that comes from heavenly things or the kingdom of heaven, they're like that householder. They need to bring up the old because it's valuable, and they need to be able to bring out the new. Not just the Old Testament, but these very recent teachings of Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. You need to be able to be good with the old, and you need to be able to be good with the parables I just gave you. You need to know the things that what they had at the time, the Old Testament that they had. Of course, they didn't call it the Old Testament, but these writings that we have, they are good. You are to know them. You are to teach them. You are to show the truth out of them, but also teach these things I'm telling you. Now, why is that so important? Because a lot of folks get this idea that the Old Testament and the New Testament, two different gods. They see this Jesus Christ as somebody who's new and never mentioned before. We got to be able to do both. Because the Old Testament and the New, somebody asked me, how do you reconcile the Old and New Testaments? And I told him, you don't have to reconcile, friends. They're already buddies. One set the other one up, and the other one went through with what it was promised. That's what happened. You need to be good at both the Old Testament and the New Testament. You need to have a full understanding of both. Because when you have a full understanding of both, you get the whole picture. And it's important that we have it. It's important that we teach it. We see here again in verse 52, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Right? Now, what is the similarities between somebody who's a scribe, who's been taught the things of the kingdom of God, and a householder? Both of them bring in the goods. Right? Both of them bring in the goods. Somebody said this recently, and it's really stuck to me. Have you ever seen your neighbors bring in their groceries? Has anybody ever asked you about that? That was the thing. Have you ever seen your neighbors bring in the groceries? Have you? We got to protect you, because I don't know anybody else. I've never seen my neighbors bring the groceries in. And I thought about that a little bit too hard, too long. But you know what? I could imagine everybody watching us bring groceries in, because it is a parade. You've got, even Melody will try to bring something in. She'll sit there with these bags of bread, just lumbering these bags of bread into the house, you know. You bring stuff in, don't you? You go out, oh honey, we're out of sugar, we're out of coffee. Hey, don't forget to pick up bananas. And you come in and you got your bag and you put those things away with anticipation of using it, right? Well, somebody who is learning the things of God, they must do the same. With us and our spiritual grocery bags, our spiritual supply bags coming in on a Sunday afternoon, fresh from church. Hey, look at what we've picked up today. Look at what it is that we have heard today. And hey, maybe our stops as we're reading throughout the week. Hey, look, this is what the Holy Spirit's revealed to me through the reading of the Word today. This is what my meditation on Scripture has brought me to. Hey, I understand now that I've done this wrong. Or hey, look at this thing that I can be grateful for. Look at these things that I can be happy about. Look at this great amount of comfort that I have received today from the Word of God. We need to bring the things of the Word of God in. It is not enough to hear a sermon on sin. You got to repent if it's you. It's not enough just to hear a sermon on comfort or to read a passage of Scripture on comfort. You must take it in. It's not just about problem solving or dealing with conflict or any of the other ways that the Bible tells us to live. It's not about just reading about the fruit of the Spirit. It's taking that information, bringing it in, and storing it. Not letting it pass through your minds. When we were children, we would sit down and we would study for our tests. How quickly did that information leave your brain? We used to have one teacher, he was amazing. I could still label everything in the animal and plant cells because he was an amazing teacher. I probably can't even remember any of the other things he taught me. But I remember that. And how many of us, you sit down and you take the test, and by the time you're taking the next test, you've already kind of forgotten some of the stuff in the back. We need to hang on to what we have. We need to make sure that we've kept the things that we have brought in. As these things are taught to us, we keep them, we meditate on them, and we store them. We get them out and we look at them. Yes, this is fresh. Yes, this is good. Yes, this will be perfect for the salad. Yes, this is exactly what I needed for my shoes. We contemplate how to use them. We see the value of them and where we're going to put them. These things about the kingdom of heaven that we have learned, we must be planning on how we're going to use them as we bring them in. Not just spiritual hoarders who learn things and store it up so we can be, so we can look intelligent. Hey, it's great to have information. It's more, I was going to say more better, but that's not right. It's better for you to not just have it, but to use it. It's better to use it than to not, right? It's better to use it than to not. Many people, they use their knowledge as a point of pride. Look at how much I know. That's wonderful that you know it. You're supposed to know it. That's great. We should all know as much as we can. But please use it. And if you don't have a plan for it, it's going to be forgotten. It's like those... My wife's good at this. I'm terrible at it. My wife can put together a grocery list, a supply list that we need, and everything goes to everything. She knows where it goes. I need four of these for that. I need two of those for those over here. And if there's anything left, we'll do this with it. She knows. To the point where I'm almost kind of like a child. Can I eat this? Yeah, no, we're not using that for anything. Okay, all right. Thank you. she's got a plan. This is where it goes. When we receive some knowledge, some biblical truth, we need to look at it and say, how am I going to use this? What will I do with it? And then look and search for a place and a use for that thing. Bring it in. Bring it in with that idea. And some people, they seem kind of hesitant. Now listen, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak on some days, right? And I absolutely understand that. The medication some folks are on, having a hard time sleeping, I get that. But please, catch yourself if you're just daydreaming. Oh, okay, all right, let's get back to it. Whether it's when you're reading in your prayer life or while you're here during church, please, keep awake. So that way you don't find yourself without something you need. I did that to Danielle. I ran out for supplies this weekend. All right, what do we need? I need this. Husbands, you ever get sent to the store and you forget something? Man, I hate that. I thought, and I think it was at the bottom of the list too, because I got to that point where I was feeling like mission accomplished. And I got to the bottom, crackers. Oh. We've got like three or four boxes of crackers now, but where are they? What? Oh, I dropped the ball on it. There's going to be problems in our lives that come up where we need scriptural counsel, and we probably already heard it. You ever think about that? How many times you needed biblical advice, and you've probably already heard it? It's just not clicking because you never meditated on it. You never sat there and thought much of it. You never sat there and said, how much use can I get out of this? I've also learned this in life, that there's two different kinds of people when it comes down to toothpaste. One of them are the people that will take a flat edge and get all of the toothpaste out. And they'll roll it up and they'll do everything they can to get every little, I don't know if you'd call it a drop, but every little squeeze of that toothpaste, we want every molecule of it out. And then there's the absolute troglodytes that crush the tube and just, and you probably have a good quarter of the thing in there, and they're like, well, we need some more toothpaste, right? And I'm not including the kids, because the adults will grab a hold of those and make sure it's properly wrung out. That's what I'm talking about, what we need to do with Scripture. We need to wring it out proper. Not twist it, of course. I mean, I probably should have been more careful with that phrase, but you get what I'm saying. We need to get everything out of that passage of Scripture we possibly can. We don't want to leave any meat behind on those chicken wings. We want every bit out of it. We want to make sure that every meaning, every use, every place I could put that verse to work in my life is getting there. It's happening. So what is taught to us, we pray, needs to stay in the storage. Needs to stay in the storage. And you get into that position where the memory doesn't quite work the way that it needs to. And I find that the more business my brain is doing nowadays, the less, how do I put it, the longer it takes for me to get to certain things. And some of you are looking at me going, brother, if that's happening now, I get it. But it seems like the more you got on there, the slower it takes for you to get to certain things. We need to make sure we're re-going over these things. When I worked in, when I would work in restaurants, one of the things that we would often do is part of my job was to go through the coolers and go through the storage and look for anything that had expired. Which meant that I had to grab, pick up, and touch just about everything in that storage to make sure that things were there. I had to remember where they were. A lot of times you'd have to like really search for the expiration dates. So I'd take a sticker in there and I'd write that expiration date on the sticker. Okay, these onions need to be thrown out at the end of the day. right, this day. You can't store this for tomorrow. Don't store onions like that, right? The tomatoes, they came in on this day. They ought to last for this long. You need to go and do what I like to call checking the fences, making sure nothing's breaking down. How do I do that? Number one, you need to be through the book as often as you can. You need to be through the book as often as you can. Checking and double checking what you know. Because it happens. It happens. None of us are perfect. I hear there's some people out there with perfect memories. If I've ever met one, I can't remember. But I tell you this. It's most likely not us. And we need to work at it. Because it's a pity when we don't know. Because you're going to wish you knew in the moment. You're going to wish you'd have thought of that. And you're going to look back at the two different outcomes that could have taken place, and you're going to wish you knew what the Bible had said in that moment. Let us not just bring them in or store them. Let's also make sure we're using them. We're using them. I heard somebody tell a story about how their parents used to keep a cake aside for when visitors would come in. So just on the off chance the visitors would come in, their mom always had something baked somewhere. And I sat there and thought, how does that work? I'd ask, but I'm not sure anybody would raise their hand. Anybody here, you just keep a random baked good in the house on the off chance somebody pops in? No, because what would happen? Right? Am I normal? If you had a baked good sitting in that house, that baked good ain't making it, right? It ain't making it. Someone's getting into that thing. I'm going to have tiny fingerprints in the icing. Guaranteed there's going to be a few adult-sized bites missing out of some stuff. It's just not something we do, right? Hey, when you have something, you use it, don't you? Now, you might have a few things. These are the good towels. This is the good living room. We only let the special guests come here. This is the china we only break out when the king comes by. Right? Well, you might have some things like that, but for the most part, you use your stuff, don't you? What is the purpose of getting it and bringing it in if you're not going to use it? I think I've told stories about that before. Going into people's apartments and just seeing QVC boxes, unopened QVC boxes as far as the eye can see. The QVC boxes were getting more use out of that apartment than the people who lived inside of it were. Why do you buy all this stuff? I need it. But you never open it. Yeah, but I might need it. Oh man, what a terrifying kind of thing to be in. Where you've got a home you can't move around in because of stuff you ain't using. Now what would be better is if your head is filled with this biblical knowledge, you would break it out and you would use it. That you would put it to use. And put it to regular use. All right, knowledge is one of the few things on earth you can use and use and use and it never breaks. You can use and use and use and it never wears out. You don't have to worry about the shelf life of it. It'll keep. But we must use it. What else does a householder do with the goods that are inside the house? He preserves it. Again, I call your attention to that word scribe. Right? A scribe, not just a holder, not just a steward. A steward can make decisions on things. A disciple's job is to learn things. But this word scribe is to what? To preserve, to copy and preserve. As how we know that what we know about our transcripts, what we know about the versions that we have because of the duties of the scribes and the notes and the rules left behind and how they followed things. And we've talked about the dangers of people who get creative with Scripture, what they're doing to society, and what they're doing to Christianity, and what God is going to do to them because they did that. We can't get creative with it. But the bigger danger here isn't just creativity. One of the bigger dangers here, again, is not just the creativity, but it's ignorance. Ignorance is dangerous. Because creativity is a purposeful choice. Ignorance is just something that we are talking, you know, when we're talking about things of the Bible and we don't know anything about them, we are doing the same damage as the creative people, but it takes less effort. Somebody, I'm not sure if I mentioned this on Sunday or not, but I saw this kid's book. And it talked about Jesus coming to John. So that for his baptism, remember that? And John says, well, I ought to be baptized by you. And the caption of it says, Jesus comes to be baptized to wash away his sins. Now that stung. Now wait a minute. You know what that little toddler's cardboard book was saying? That it was the baptism of John that washed sins away. That Jesus Christ had sin. And again, it leaves me begging the question I often have to beg with these people. If water could wash away our sins, then why did Jesus Christ have to die on the cross? If I could light a candle, if I could hallelujah in the dark, if I could sit on my knees till they bled in front of some statue, why did Jesus have to die? And again, the whole blasphemy of Jesus came to wash his sins away, that's blasphemy. Amen. Makes me nervous even to bring it up, but we need to be talking about this. Because ignorance is dangerous. I've often said that people writing these Christianese type books, they are not Christians. A lot of these people who are writing modern day Christian songs are not Christians. They are writers for hire. Which is why, again, I encourage good Christians with solid doctrine need to be writing. And Christians need to be reading good Christian writing. Right? The good stuff. Not this modern Christian stuff. Not this quote-unquote Christian stuff. Real Christian stuff. So we need to preserve it. Keep it as is. Protect it. Not mess around with it. Not get creative with it. Not speak out of ignorance. I've heard people give this testimony, Lord, save them on a Sunday. Two Sundays later, the church has got them teaching Sunday school. Now, that's wrong. That's wrong to the new convert. That's wrong to the kids. Right. That ain't you're not treating either one of them right doing that. Educate that person first. Well, there's some sympathy. No, I get it. You're understaffed. I get it. But don't put somebody out there to teach who doesn't know. Don't do that to them. Right? We must educate, but educate as we see it, as we duplicate things. Coming up here in a little bit, we're going to start one of our discipleship courses. I'm very excited. I pray it's one of many that we'll have here soon. And it's very simple. It's one adult sitting down with another adult. It's one of the most beautiful things you could see in the Bible. One adult sitting down with another adult. Now listen, Sunday school class is Sunday school. You got one teacher, many students. With something like discipleship, you've got one adult sitting down with another adult explaining the things of God. It's beautiful. And we ought to do that. We copy, we paste. We copy, we paste. Here is what I know. Here is how to do it. Every new Christian needs a person. They need Sunday school class. They need the preaching of the Word of God. They absolutely need those things. We should never cut them off from those things. Those things are wonderful, but they should have a mentor. They should have an older friend in the church that takes them aside. I had them, and they were very valuable to me. Those people who took the Word of God and taught it the way that it was and explained it to me the way that it was. And we could have conversations on it and discussions on it. And it caused my faith and my knowledge to grow far more than what would have happened in some of these places where we just throw somebody into the work and say, well, read your Bible. Pay attention to the classes. You'll get there eventually. No, let's take a personal effort into it. What do you say? To teach. And to mentor what the Bible says. There's no greater thing to learn, no greater thing of value for us to wrap our minds around than the Word of God. So we see there in that, how do we preserve it that way? Well, number one, we do have preaching. I tell you what, there ought to be preaching. We see these churches today and it's less and less and less. And that's a shame. Some people may look over at how long I go over on a regular basis and say, that's a shame, I don't know. But you get my point. We need preaching. I'd rather be 15 over than 15 flat. I'm just saying. As long as I'm saying something of value, if I'm wasting your time, I'm sorry. But the point of the matter is there ought to be preaching. There ought to be teaching. There ought to be solid educational opportunities in the church. We're talking a classroom-style setting. We've got our adult Sunday school class, and I praise the Lord for that. We've got teen classes. One of them, you know, we ran out of teenage girls. You know, there you go. But we got a teen boy class. We got a couple younger classes. We need that. We got discipleship starting up. That's the mentor. Every person in this church ought to be in a position. If you've been here for 10, 12 years, you ought to be in a position where you could mentor somebody, where you could take a young Christian aside, no matter what their age is, and explain to them how to put the Bible in walking shoes. Be that person that can encourage them on a one-to-one basis, right? So education, the preaching, the teaching, the mentoring, we need to have these in the church. And I'm glad we've got that here, and I'm glad for other churches that prioritize the teaching of the Word and prioritize the teaching of it as it is written instead of with our added dogmas to it. So we must preserve the Word of God. And ultimately, we understand why we must preserve it. It's because it's not ours to manipulate. Well, we like to teach it this way because it doesn't matter how you like to teach it. It's not right to teach it wrong. That's not what it says. Again, just this idea, well, we want kids to be able to relate to Jesus Christ, so we put him there to wash his own sins away, so it doesn't seem like he's all that big. No, you're trying to de-godify, but you're trying to claim that he's not the Son of God. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to diminish the Son of God so you can feel better, and you can teach it, more people will buy it, and it makes you feel good. That's why you're doing it, but you don't have the right to do it. That's not your business to mess with the Word of God. And it's blasphemy when you do it that way. We need to preserve it. Because it's not ours to fool around with. We got to keep it just the way it is. The Bible is a fantastic vehicle of education and living our lives and pleasing and serving God. But it is not ours to do with whatever we wish. Imagine I were to come over and borrow your car. And when I bring it over, bring it back, you know, the next day, I've got giant lifted tires on it. I've painted it lime green. And, of course, I left the gas tank on empty. You'd be furious. But that's what a lot of people are doing with the Word of God. And we ain't got nothing more to say about it than, well, to each his own. No, let us preserve it as scribes. Letter for letter, jot for jot. Tittle for tittle. And what else do we see here that person does? Which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. We need to bring out the old. Man, I'll tell you this. I know you agree with me, but I'm going to say it to you because it makes me, hopefully it'll make you just as happy as it makes me happy. There ain't nothing wrong with the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. What do you have back there in the Old Testament? You got the history. I love biblical history. I love when people who dig in the dirt find biblical history and they go, well, somebody was posting this. Oh, man, I can't remember the name of the metal. Iron pyrite. You guys know what iron pyrite is, right? Fool's gold, they call it. Did you know that in certain circumstances, let's say around Pennsylvania, if you were to flash fossilize something, like if something were to get covered real fast, the oxygen conditions would be just such to where iron pyrite would seep into the bones, and the bones of the thing, instead of being preserved as stone, would be preserved as iron pyrite or fool's gold. And you'd be able to go down to Pennsylvania right now and dig up these fossil shells made of iron pyrite. And everybody agrees the only way that could have happened is if some disaster were to take place that immediately covered everything, not allowing a certain amount of oxygen to get to it during the fossilization process. It speaks to a rapidity of how quickly something was covered. And they sit there and they say, well, it must have been the meteor. Okay. We see time and time again as they dig in the dirt. Hey, we think we found evidence of King David. Yep, that's what it is. Hey, look, we found this. Hey, look, we found that. And I'm over here chuckling. Why am I over here chuckling? Because I've had the history book that talked about it all this time. They had to go sweat in the summer heat to find it. I sat in an air-conditioned office and I read it in the book of Genesis. It's there. Oh, the history. The law. Well, why do people under grace need to know about the law? Because the law is our school teacher. Law tells you how much you need grace. Amen. The very fact that you can't follow the law is the education you need to know how badly you need grace. Not a single perfect person in all the world. That should tell us we got a sin nature. All the problems we have in society should tell us we've got a sin nature. Because when we look to see we can't even follow our own laws, we got to understand what's going on. We got a sin nature. Something the law highlights and tells us of. What about the poetry? Oh, the poetry. I wonder what would happen if we could take every copy of the book of Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. If we could wring those pages out, I wonder how many tears through the years we'd be able to drain out of them. They've caught a lot of tears. They've provided a lot of comfort, though, poetry books of the Bible. Given a lot of encouragement. They've taught us a lot of educational things while being just beautiful. How about the prophecies? The promises of the Old Testament. And the joy we had when we read in the New Testament and saw them coming true. That's beautiful too. All the promises. The fulfilled ones. The ones that are yet to be fulfilled. The Old Testament is a beautiful book for you to know. It is an important book for you to know. And not just for those reasons, but laced all through all of the books are warnings. This is what I'll do if you do this. And we've seen nation upon nation turn against God, and terrible things have happened. You know, I mentioned recently, you know, just this idea of, well, why would God allow terrible things to happen? You know, I think about this. What would God have to do? I told you that he'd have to kill us in order to stop us, right? All throughout the Old Testament, what did he do to different societies? He did exactly that. And you know what people who read the Old Testament say? Well, he's a mean God. He's not compassionate. He's only doing exactly what we beg for him to do today. Why are we throwing all these live babies down to this fiery furnace of Molech? Well, they ought to. All the crime, the human trafficking, the terrible stuff we see in our society today. Just the debauched way of thinking, the debauched way of living, the drugs, the alcohol, and what that eventually leads people into. Oh, I wish God would just stop it. We see here where he's wiping out entire societies, entire nations. And people go, oh no, that's terrible. See, you can't listen to modern Christianity. Because that God can't do right nor wrong by them. I'm telling you, we need to heed the warnings. When we see these societies doing terrible things. Listen, as America, I'll dare to say this, as America, the only thing I believe, I want to say this properly, I should have wrote it down. One of the things keeping us safe is the fact that we're supporting Israel. And we're not perfect at it. And oftentimes when you see us do something disloyal, you'll see immediately some disaster or something befall us. It is like clockwork. Well, the president decided to do this, and you could put any president back there that's ever done it. My favorite, I've got a list of things that Clinton would do against Israel and then something terrible would happen. You know, the NASDAQ would drop like substantially and people would go into bankruptcy that one day because of things that would happen. Natural disasters, terrorist situations that would take place in our country just days or even minutes after we did something disloyal to Israel. We need to be real careful with that. Need to be real careful. I do believe that he's sustaining us for the sake of his people that are here, but the people that are here need to be more faithful. We need to be faithful. We need to listen to the warnings. Amen. Listen to what God says about a government. Listen to what God says about a people. And there ain't nothing wrong with knowing the new. There's that you need to know the Gospels. You need to understand what they mean. You need to be able to speak the story of the life and death of Jesus Christ. You need to be able to speak of the things that he taught. You need to have an understanding of it. Because even if you know the salvation the Lord can bring, oh, what joy it brings to our hearts to hear it again. Don't we sing that song, I love to tell the story. Man, we need to know that gospel. How about the teaching and the doctrine? Right? The teaching and the doctrine, Acts, the epistles, all those things that were written to educate others that was preserved for us today for that same education. We need to be just as well versed in the old in the New Testament as anyone could ever be in the Old Testament. We need to know those doctrines. We need to be able to speak them and live by them, even the ones that make us uncomfortable. You know, I tell you what, I appreciate that y'all just let me preach on whatever's in the Bible, because there'd be some churches after I got up and preached on marriage on a Sunday night, they'd want to have a talk to me on Monday morning. I've heard pastors give that testimony. Well, I preached on marriage, and I got, you know, Monday morning, my email goes just flooded, and how they thought, how dare I do that, and how uncomfortable it made their ride home, and how... Listen, I hope we all went home a little uncomfortable. I know I did. I know I did. Well, how dare you preach on tithing, Pastor? You can't be preaching on tithing. Well, I tell you what, the Bible does talk about supporting your church, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. Here's a good one. Oh, dress. Why'd you say that about the way a woman ought to dress? Don't you know how chauvinistic that is? Misogynistic. Tell a woman how to dress. You ain't a woman. Don't tell me how to dress. Well, I ain't going to tell no one how to dress. Listen, I will never tell a woman how to dress. I'm going to tell you how God tells you to dress. Me, zero fashion sense whatsoever. I've got no opinions on the matter. The Lord, he's got some very specific things to say, and I will be talking about those. I'll get on men too. A guy told me one time, he goes, I've never heard a guy preach on modesty and bring up men before. I'm like, I am so sorry you've been left out. I'll send you some notes. What's your email address? I'll help you out. Because there are churches that are perfectly happy to tell a woman that she's a disgrace to God for wearing a skirt that's a little too high, but he'll go out in a pair of short shorts and a tank top and think he's doing God's work. Well, we're just up at the church. We took our shirts off. Are you crazy? Right up against God's house, you're going to tempt him like that. You're going to ask for it that loud. Listen, Bible talks about modesty. We need to understand what it's talking about there. Both in the Old Testament, when they talk about it in the New Testament. How a man ought to dress, how a woman ought to dress. We need to know those books. We need to have that understanding. Because that could be the difference between the awards we can lay down at his feet or the regrets we have with nothing in our hands. So the teaching, the doctrines... We need to know them. And it's not about just sweetening up your life. It's about living a life that God deserves to see you living. So living the life that God deserves to see you living. My mom came up to help us out with, while we were out with at the hospital. And I tell you what, I don't clean the house as deeply as I clean the house when mom's coming by. You know what I mean? She might take my allowance away. This is serious. real serious. Right? So I'm just waiting. You know, I'm waiting. I feel like I'm in my room again. I'm waiting for Mom to kind of give it the one over. You know, hey, you did a good job, or hey, keep trying, you know. She never said anything because apparently I'm a grown-up and that's not how grown-ups talk to each other. But I still anticipated it. We need to keep our lives clean for the Lord. For no other reason than the fact that we want to please Him. Our obedience to Him ought to be at the very core because we love Him and we want to please Him. Well, why would I dress the way it would make you happy? Why would I change the way I talk to make you happy? Why would I do this with my life to make you happy? It ain't going to make me happy or sad. I mean, I'll pity you. And every now and then somebody will do something bad and it'll break my heart. But you got to worry more about God than you do me. Right? That's not what's important for you. What does God say? So we need to know the teachings and the doctrines. And hey, we need to know about what's coming up. We need to know about what's coming up. And these things that we teach and we preach, we need to bring them forward again as somebody lavishing a guest with great hospitality. Here's this. Why don't we go out on back and sit on the deck? Hey, come on by here. We have the things and we bring them out new and old for our friends. Hey, let me bring out the old this or that so we can go mess around in the backyard with it. And hey, let's do this and hey, let's do that. We'll bring these things out just to encourage the people to stop by, just to make them feel good, make them feel comfortable. We need to be able to do the same with the Scripture. This is what it says. This is why it's important. And we pass it down from generation to generation. Here's what it says. Because we've fallen into this position here in life at this point in our time where the Bible is knowable, the truth is reachable, anybody could know it, but they don't because we refuse to teach it. Or we've taught it to people in a classroom setting who were actively not paying attention because they were 5, 6, 7, 8. And we need to take that time. Or we'll have people in the church who are experiencing Christianity brand new, and they need someone to rely on, someone to call on, someone in the church to encourage them and be that buddy, to be that big sister or that big brother, to be that uncle or aunt in the church, or in many cases that extra grandma and grandpa to come into the church and help them out and give them encouragement and say, thus saith the Lord, and hey, I know you're upset about this, but God has the way through. Let me tell you about how this happened. You know, I'm going to tell you this. Don't you tell Danielle I said it. Some of you ladies have gone to my wife and you've shared your stories with what the surgery she's had. And I want you to know how powerful that was for her. How comforting, how encouraging that was. We need that. And on top of it, I'm praying for you. I love you. You don't know where people come from. You don't know if they've never heard that stuff before. They don't know how many. They don't know how comforting it can be when someone just comes by and shares their burden just a little bit. That ought to be what we do here in church. Sharing each other's burdens, educating each other, encouraging each other with the Word. We ever lose that, and folks, we're in trouble. I don't care if we are 2,000-3,000 people. We lose the ability to encourage each other with the Word and teach each other the Word, mentor each other with the Word. We're useless. Well, we feed 10,000 people a month. Yeah, but we lost the ability to use the Word to encourage each other, so what does it matter? Well, you know, we've raised this much money for overseas missions. But we've lost the Word. What does it matter? What are we? We're a hollow sound. We're empty. Let us strive with everything we have to be like somebody who lives within the Word of God and can bring out the old and bring out the new and serve it with strong hospitality. Not like one who can be creative with it, but a scribe with strict rules. to handle it, preserve it, and duplicate it as it was given. And above all, obeying it, following it, using it every day. The Word of God is powerful, not just because of its origins, not just because of how long we've had it, but, my friends, because God gave it to us and it is useful. God gave it to you to use, not to gather dust, not to be something to help you win trivia night when you're playing Bible bingo or whatever. It is to be used. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for your Word. Father, for the doctrines you've put in there, the poetry, the comfort, the education, the history, all the things, the promises. We could go on and on with all the things we find in your book. But Father, please help us to know it and help us to share it. Lord, not as aggressors, not as debaters and arguers, not as people who puff themselves up by it, but Father, as somebody who lives within it and is sharing the good hospitality out of it. Lord, let the Bible be our pantry. Let the Bible be our refrigerator, our back patio. And Lord, help us to be able to bring out both the old and the new, Lord, in great abundance. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.